Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning. I'm Chrissy Mernon. My guest is Dawn White Fosdick. She is the executive director of CAM, the Christian Assistance Ministry, and they have a lot going on. They're involved in some changes you'll be seeing in the downtown area, so we'll talk about that. First thing, though, what is Christian Assistance Ministry?
I like to call CAM the emergency room of social services. So we have a lot of social service agencies that help people with specialty things. So if you were facing breast cancer, you might go to the Breast Cancer Foundation. Or if you were a family in crisis and needed counseling, you might call Family Service Association. And the list goes on. I'm sure people have their favorite nonprofits. But often folks don't know where they fit in. They've never had to ask for help, so they don't know where to turn. And so many of our places have demographic requirements, age requirements, even zip code requirements. But just like an emergency room, if you're in trouble and you don't know where to turn, you can walk into CAM, no appointment necessary. You don't need to be in any zip code. You can be any age, and you can say, I am having trouble with whatever your problem might be. And what we do is sort of triage the problem, see what it is, and then the things we can help with that are urgent, we help with immediately. Like we might help pay someone's utility bill, or we might help someone fill a vital prescription, or we might help pay for someone to get an ID, because if you don't have an ID, you can't get a job. Or we might help a family just get some food on the table. They're going to get paid maybe on Monday, but it's Friday, and they had to pay their rent or get a car repaired, and all of a sudden they don't have the money they need for groceries. And so we can say yes today. And then what we like to do is, if you need more help, if this isn't just a one-time crisis, we're going to refer you to local nonprofits that can help you long-term, or even government supports that you may qualify for. Like we might meet a veteran and we realize that he or she is not accessing some of those supports, or a senior citizen that could benefit from a food program like food stamps. So I think we're really vital, because often people can't even move forward to changing those circumstances if someone can't say yes today. Mm-hmm. And then there are those people that really don't need a long-term program. They don't need to sign up for something, see if they're qualified, wait 6 weeks, when if they just got some groceries today, or maybe had that high utility bill paid for today, they're going to be fine, because they're a working poor family and they usually make ends meet. So we want to be that place of grace and mercy for anybody in our community.
How long has CAM been around, and how did it come about?
Well, CAM was founded 40 years ago by 9 downtown churches. A local pastor at First Presbyterian Church, Louis Abendon, and some other pastors, I think a Keith Fox from Grace Lutheran Church, they saw homeless clients that sometimes were in very serious situations, as well as they saw families sort of going in and out of their churches, just like I described, not knowing where to go. And the churches realized that the poor church secretary or receptionist is the one that these people are talking to, and who is making the decisions, and were they even doing a good job with these little one-off helps? So they kind of said, what would it look like if we joined forces, joined our congregations together by bringing volunteers, our money, donated clothing, donated hygiene items, and Grace Lutheran Church donated a building. And so really just an act of faith. They didn't really know if it would work, but it immediately worked. And now today we have another church that donates a building at University United Methodist Church. There are probably 75 official member churches besides those 9. And then probably over 100 churches support us with various items. There's 200 volunteers that make it possible for us to serve clients. And today, 40 years later, we're serving 50,000 people on an annual basis.
50,000 people a year. That's incredible. So what's the biggest need? You talked about the variety of services where you really are an emergency room and then a conduit for a greater help.
Yes.
So what's in biggest demand, and is that what is constant, or does it change?
I think it's a fairly consistent need. And that's often validated by United Way, who has a 211 hotline. I'll promote that, where families can call in, or anybody can call in and say, I have this problem. You don't even need to know whose phone number you need. You just share your problem, and then they will tell you where resources are in the community. And they've shared with us over and over that often CAM services are in their top 5 referrals. And that is your basic needs: food, clothing. And when we talk about clothing, sometimes it's specialized clothing, like for work, and they need certain shoes or outfits. Other times it's seriously just clothing to cover your body. Families who need children's clothing or tennis shoes for their kids or coats, diapers, and then financial assistance to pay for things like a utility bill. We know that in the summer that can be critical for people. And the bills get very high because it's so hot here. And then prescription assistance is pretty significant. The last thing that we really specialize in that I think is very important and people mostly don't know about, and that's this concept of ID recovery. And I want to share that that could mean a birth certificate that is needed to enroll your child in school. It could be a marriage certificate that's required for housing. It could be your birth certificate so that you can get your Social Security card and then get your ID in order to get a job. And these are things that we take for granted, but often take an enormous amount of time for people to reclaim if they've lost them. And they may have lost them because they were a battered woman and escaped a home that they can't go back to. So now they don't have anything on their children or themselves. Or it could be someone that was robbed, someone on the street who's trying to get off the street, or children who've aged out of foster care and didn't get those necessary items. And often people who face poverty or a poor family may have been transient. They may have moved a lot. And so they may not have a mom or a dad who has their old birth certificate. So we really try to help people reclaim those items and pay for them so that they can move forward. They can work, they can get into housing, and they can enroll their children in school.
You know, if you have them at home in your special drawer, you don't even think twice about that kind of thing.
Right. But if you don't, if you've had a circumstance, like I just mentioned before, where you were evicted or you were robbed or you were a victim of abuse or you were a child who didn't have a family and now you're 18 and you're out of the foster care system, you really can't start your life over or start living without all of those items.
That's really a key to the door of your life, really.
Yes. Yeah. And so we kind of, when I said we're the emergency room of social services, we also think we're sometimes the beginning. And so there are a lot of wonderful programs in our community that deal with systemic issues, that case manage people, that will help them with job training. And even those nonprofits often will first send a client to us to get some of these basic things, get a person sort of shored up and ready to go. Mm-hmm. And then they can start working on the long-term problem.
Where is CAM located and what are your hours for people who need those services?
We do have two locations. The one that was first founded 40 years ago is downtown. There's a McCullough-Nolan exit right off of 281, and we're at 110 McCullough. We're open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. to 3:30 and Friday from 9 a.m. till about noon. Then we have a Northside location next to Clark High School at University United Methodist Church. There's a building in their parking lot. That's 5084 Days of Allah. And they're open Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. until 2 or 2:30.
What do they do there? The same thing as you do downtown?
They do the exact same thing as we do downtown. It's a smaller location, and they do see a different population. We do see about 25% of our clients are homeless downtown and may suffer from a mental health issue. And on the north side, most of our clients are working poor, younger families that are maybe in apartments around there. And there's a huge refugee placement along Vance Jackson. And we see an enormous amount of clients that are refugees at that location.
Do they have different needs, the refugees?
Often they do, because what happens is someone may have been placed here and been displaced from their country, like Syria or Iran, Iraq or Africa. And the family members, the adult parents and grandparents, may not speak English. Some of the children do. And they're just learning how to operate here in the city, in a foreign country, after they've maybe lived in tents with no running water. Or everything is new to them. So, yes, we often will see those clients. We allow you to come back for food and clothing every other month because we want to be more of an emergency room and not a day-to-day resource. We do see those clients for a while, pretty steady, because they have great needs. We may be the only place providing them with something like clothing as they're getting jobs and getting acclimated and learning to speak English.
But they have to do it all in a short period
they
of time.
Do.
Whereas we had 18
a
to
lifetime.
20 years to learn all that stuff.
Yes, yes. And it's a real experience for our volunteers, who I mentioned before are often senior citizens and haven't been exposed to all of these worldly cultures. I consider it kind of a gift. and that we're getting to know each other. There's a lot of misgivings, and we have a lot of politics around those issues. And at CAM, it's just about love and grace and learning to love each other one-on-one.
And helping.
And just helping.
And helping. So volunteers, how many volunteers do you have, and do you need more, and what do your volunteers do?
We always need volunteers. So CAM, what's the miracle about CAM is we accept no government support. We don't have to pay rent for any of our buildings. And we serve 50,000 people with only 8 full-time staff and 3 part-time. So that wouldn't be possible if we didn't have regular volunteers. And by regular, I mean, they're not just dropping in for a weekend or something. They work a shift every Monday from 8:30 to 12:30, and then a new group comes in from 12:30 to about 4 or 4:30. And so when someone volunteers at CAM, it becomes like one of their jobs. They may work once a week for 4 hours, and they really get to know our population. They get to know how to serve. They really have a leadership role because we can't manage them. They have to actually be autonomous workers. And they might help clients get clothing in the food, in the clothing pantry. They may help with food in the food pantry and packing up groceries. Or they may actually interview clients and work on the process of discovering what we can do to help the client, as well as make referrals. And so it's a very meaningful job. We have a lot of retirees. Sometimes we have some stay-at-home moms and even some homeschooler moms who bring their kids with them. So it's really an incredible place where you can serve and serve in a very personal way. Lots of nonprofits, you can't do that because obviously, you might not be able to do counseling. But at CAM, you are working with, holding hands with, ministering to every person that walks through the door.
In what age of volunteers do you allow? Because, yes. You said a lot of places kids can't volunteer.
We do have kids volunteer quite a bit. So a kid usually has to come with their mom, but they might work in the food pantry, sorting food, packing groceries, making sandwiches. They might help us clean. We do have some weekend warriors that come in on the third Saturday of the month and just help us clean and get ready for the clients to come in. And then summertime, we have summer teen interns and college students that work for a couple of weeks. And then during the holidays, often children will come with families and pass out Christmas gifts or once again make sandwiches. So you could probably be from age 5 to, as I mentioned before, I have a 93-year-old nun who works in our men's pantry. Mm-hmm. Just about any age.
Our guest this morning is Dawn White Fosdick. She is the executive director of CAM, Christian Assistance Ministry. And as she mentioned, CAM has been around for 40 years. So you're having a big celebration, aren't you?
We are. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary at our annual Feast to Feed Gala on October 25th. It's going to be at the Mays Family Center. It's a great time. We raised a little over $200,000 last year. It's vital to our budget. Those are dollars that really go back to our ability to buy the prescription that someone needs or to provide the ID or food and clothing for our clients. We're really excited to celebrate our 40th anniversary, but we also really plan to unveil that we have a vision for the future for CAM.
And what is that? Are you saving it for the gala?
I can share a little bit of it. I always think that sometimes you have to unveil these things multiple times for it to click with people. And some of your audience may not be able to attend our event. Our real vision for CAM is to utilize our downtown location to spearhead awareness about people in need, that people are now exiting that McCullough exit to head to the Tobin Center. And I realized, oh my goodness, we have a free marketing opportunity. Or people may have attended a church where they donated clothing but never knew where we were at. So we do plan to utilize that location as a means to celebrate, share, educate, and get more people engaged so that ultimately we can do more. And when we talk about doing more, it might be that we can provide more help to a client, more money. A utility assistance can be very expensive. And I think that we could do more, spend more dollars and be a more strategic help, but also maybe help more people through using that location by then expanding our outreach. And so maybe that mobile site or a new satellite like we have at University United Methodist Church could pop up in another location. And then finally, I think we really want to be a voice for those in need. A lot of people don't understand poverty, or they don't understand the different kind of folks who face homelessness. And I want Cam to be a voice for those who don't have a voice in a really strategic way. And then I said finally, but last but not least, we want to intentionally provide a means for other churches or other locations to sort of create their own CAMs. I have a lot of churches that will visit me on tours because they're seeing clients and people in trouble in their locations, and they may be pretty far from CAM. So I think one way we could serve and help more people is to sort of create a CAM in a box and utilize what we know, the strategies, the processes, the ways to help people in order for others to do the same thing.
People turn to church for
help.
They
do. And churches are often... They feel bad because they want to be a place for help. They don't know who they should say yes to and maybe who they need to refer to another place. Lots of church congregants want to donate clothing or food. And so how would you as a church do it right? Because you could be overwhelmed. And it is hard to say no. So if you don't come up with a process or a means to serve people that seems fair and just and kind, then your effort could backfire on you. So I always say, you know, we don't have to do everything ourselves. CAM doesn't, in order to serve more people. We can utilize those churches that are all throughout our community, and our community's getting even bigger with all the little suburban areas.
And the need is widespread.
The need
isn't
is widespread. Yes, Santa, you know, it's not just one location. Your neighbor may be in need. You may think that you're fine and that you wouldn't even need to call a place like CAM, but maybe your neighbor is struggling. Maybe it's an elderly couple who's on a limited income and now they have medical bills and they don't have the food they need. So everyone could be affected by these things.
You never know. In the blink of an eye, circumstances
yes.
change and
yes.
there is that urgent need. And there's CAM, the Emergency Room of Social Services.
Yes.
And now you're on McCullough downtown. You take that exit right off of 281 southbound,
yes.
the McCullough-Nolan exit. And there you are. And so you've got some plans for changing the neighborhood.
We do. Actually, the neighborhood started changing around me. And one day, as I metaphorically say, I woke up and realized that I was no longer in the middle of nowhere. And I hadn't really given my location and how it looks much thought. And then I realized as I saw traffic leaving downtown, it started getting really packed around me. And that everyone was exiting McCullough-Nolan to head down to the Tobin Center. And then furthermore, the new Broadway reach and the bond occurred. And I started seeing all these businesses started getting closer and housing. And even on the east side, the Dignity Hill area. And it just dawned on me that we could be a victim or just a result of development around us. Or we could raise our hand and say, hi, developers. We're CAM, we've been here for 40 years, and we want to be a part of your neighborhood. And so do the churches that live around us. And so CPS Energy is repairing a building where the AT&T buildings used to be just down the road. And Gray Street Partners bought the old San Antonio Light building, which was a newspaper. And we just called folks up and started having meetings and said, it looks like our neighborhood is going to be a neighborhood where more businesses are going to be. And what would it look like if San Antonio was a city that had great urban development, great art, great food, great business, but it also cared greatly for its people? And then I kind of jokingly said, we want to be a light, not a blight. CAM is really stepping up to the plate to say, how can we intentionally be a part of this neighborhood, and that our neighborhood will have art and faith and healing, as well as business and great food, as I said before, and that we'll all work together to make it a neighborhood that lifts up everyone, not just the new people that are in town, but everyone can be successful.
And not push out.
And not push out folks who experience crisis or low income, but CAM can take a leadership role for those who want to serve. I kind of think that if you moved into that neighborhood, you might think it's really cool that you could be a part of a community garden or come to CAM on weekends to get clothing ready and donate, and that you feel like not just you're writing a check, but that you've moved into a neighborhood that everybody is working together to lift up people.
That is neat. Now, so I know I was reading something. You had an anonymous donor donated some, a very generous gift from an anonymous donor to.
Well, she's going, when I think I shared with her, and she's one of our volunteers, so she, but she is an anonymous donor, that we have these ideas and that we wanted to be a light, not a blight. And we've got this chain link fence. And I jokingly said that you might drive by us and think that a pit bull's back there, because that's not very inviting. And we have old buildings. The building I'm in was built in 1894. She said that she would donate sort of the re-architecture of the fencing and how our building looked, so that when people made that exit off of McCullough and turned that corner, that CAM would be a beautiful place and look like it's wonderful for those we want to serve and those who want to serve. So we're going to get new fencing and some outside architecture and lighting and hopefully some artwork that really demonstrates, you know, our purpose.
That's coming
probably in the next couple of months. And our feeling is if we start there, it's sort of that old field of dreams. If you build it, they will come. By come, I don't mean our clients, because they do come. But people who want to get involved and be a part of a neighborhood that wants to make a difference.
And one thing leads to another, doesn't
it? One thing leads to another. And we're benefiting, I think, mostly, too, because CPS Energy is doing those beautiful repairs to their building and then the San Antonio Light Building down the street from us. And the idea that we're all sort of engaged in guiding principles for that street that cares about economic development, about urban living, and it cares about people.
So where does your money come from? You said you don't get government aid.
We don't get government aid. We want to be free to help clients the way we see fit. So that allows us to be very spontaneous with a need and write a check. But we get our money from individual donors, from local foundations, from corporations, and from fundraisers like our CAM Gala.
If people want tickets, a little more information. You said it's at the Mays Family Center, which is at the Witte?
Witte, And it's going to be at 6 o'clock on October 25th, and they can go to our website at cam-sa.org to find out about information. We do have another event coming up that sort of goes along with my whole McCullough Avenue and us being a neighborhood that people can gather. We're going to have something called the Queso Meltdown, and we're going to have local chefs and restaurants and individuals who are going to throw down their best queso recipe. I like to say it's never cheesy to do good. And you can come on down, and for $5, you'll get a bag of chips and you'll get to taste the queso and you'll get to vote on your favorite one. And we'll have several winner categories. And it's a great time to come down and sort of learn about CAM as well while you're having fun. And we're asking folks to bring a bag of rice and beans because we often need that as we pack up groceries for our clients.
And then, so you've got a friend who's coming in for this?
Yes. What spurred me for this was one of my college dorm mates and sorority sister is Lisa Fain. She's the Homesick Texan. She was a James Beard Award winner, and she has her third cookbook coming out, and it's called Queso. She's going to be there as a celebrity judge, selling her books and signing books and then helping us with that fun event. And I did want to say, if you think you have a great queso or you're a local business that thinks your queso is the best, we are still looking for queso contestants. And once again, you can go to our website at cam-sa.org.
Okay, and that is coming up, you said, November?
November 11th.
So
it's Saturday from 2:30 to 5. There's quite a bit of things going on that day. There's a Veterans Parade downtown before our Queso Meltdown. So you can go to the parade and then the Queso Meltdown. And then there's some other events in the evening. So I think we're a great family-friendly event during the day.
And parking. What about parking for anything at CAM?
There is a lot of parking around us. We do have our own parking lot. First Presbyterian Church is across the street. They have significant parking lot. There's others around us. And then street parking. So it is an easy way to come into the downtown and find parking.
Because I know a lot of people, they, you know, their beef about downtown is, where am I going to park?
That's true. And you really don't have to drive very far into downtown. Like I said, if you take 35 or 281, there are McCullough exits. And so you really are just there pretty immediately.
Just pop off the expressway and there's plenty of parking right around there. Okay. And you mentioned rice and beans. So what are the things you need, you know, that people donate as far as food items?
Food items. We always need rice and beans. Peanut butter can be another food item because it's a costly item. Canned vegetables, canned soup, those are greatly needed things. I think those are the main things.
The non-perishable
items. Non-perishable items,
that are sturdy, that can be bumped around.
Yes,
you don't want
yes.
things in glass, I guess.
No, things in glass and not too many perishable things unless you call us about that. Because we actually do buy meat for clients every week. We have a lot of freezers. We're an unusual food pantry. We're big. We have a lot of storage. So when a client comes to get us for groceries, they get things for breakfast, lunch, dinner, things that they can make and expand, like rice and beans. And then we always put in some perishable items, like bread items from local stores that donate them, and meat, chicken, beef, sausage, those kinds of things.
What are some of the things that you never have enough of?
Well, I can definitely tell you about that. So one, we appreciate people who just clean their closets and donate to CAM. But I would tell you an even greater help, and I think the hurricane recently put a highlight on this. We have to spend an enormous amount of time with labor sorting through those donated items. So if you as a donor were more intentional and gave us things that, like all of your children's clothing at one time, then that would be sorted for us and we could put it right on the children's rack. We need larger women's size clothing. We need men's jeans always. We never have enough men's jeans. Those are items that our men use to work in. And men don't donate as much. That's a real hardship for us. Men's shoes, boots, work boots, and then things that we don't like to be gently used, like underwear, socks, and bras, we never have enough of. Women's bras are very expensive. Those can be gently used because sometimes a woman will buy a bra and she never wears it. We always need that sort of thing.
So the Christmas holidays are coming. Is that the most, the time you see the most generosity, or are there other times of year where people?
Well, certainly we take advantage of the fact that Thanksgiving through Christmas is a time that people like to be generous. And so we try to create a space for that generosity. We created the emergency room, or emergency Christmas shop. So if a family didn't know to sign up for Elf Louise or Toys for Tots earlier in the year, if they just had a crisis, they just became left their home or they lost their job, we create a store in our warehouse for families to shop for their children. And we need donated toys. So that's a great thing that your office, your friend, if you're having a birthday party and you're tired of the tchotchkes people give you, you could say, bring me some kids' toys. And we help kids age 0 to 18. So we always encourage folks to think about those teenage kids who are often left out of those toy drives. It can be a Christmas gift of any kind. And then Thanksgiving, sometimes people like to give specialized food in Thanksgiving baskets. So when a client may come in for food, they may be surprised because CAM will put in a big turkey and then all the Thanksgiving fixings. But all of that, once again, is just based on the generosity of folks who donate.
How long have you been at CAM, and what do you get out of being executive director?
Yeah. So I've been at CAM now for 8 years. This is my third nonprofit in about a 20-year career. So I like to stay at the same place for a long time. And I've worked on big issues, ones where I'm trying to resolve a systemic issue, whether it would be early childhood education, or I worked at Goodwill, where they help people with job training. I believed in all of those. For me, what I like about CAM is I get to use my administrative skills and I get to be a voice for those in need. But I'm on the ground floor. I'm in the trenches, if that's the word. I talk to clients every day. I'm as likely to answer the phone as anyone else in our office. I'm as likely to get up from my desk and walk outside because I hear somebody crying or upset. And so what I get out of CAM is being with the volunteers and the clients that we serve, and not only raising money, which is a job that you have to do as an executive director, but making sure that I'm raising awareness and I'm raising the level of service we provide to clients. Sometimes we have that one moment to turn a person's thinking around. And often when you're in a crisis like this, that's what you need. You need someone not only to just say yes and help you with one small thing. Maybe it's groceries, or maybe it's helping you pay for that $20 birth certificate. And then for someone to say, can I pray for you? Can I love on you? That is often bigger than even the financial help we provide a client, because they need their mindset to be changed so that they can get through the struggle.
I want to thank you for stopping by this morning. Our guest, Dawn White Fosdick, she is the executive director of CAM, the Christian Assistance Ministry. And if people want more information on volunteering, helping you out, going to your gala coming up October 25th, or the Queso Meltdown in November, how can they get more information?
The easiest way to get information is to go to our website at www.cam-sa.org. All of that information is on the website, and there's even a place where you can contact us, and an email will come directly to our office, and then we can call you back. Of course, you can call us at 210-223-4099. Sometimes calling can take a little while because we have a lot of clients calling.
Okay, and watch that space on the Interstate 37-281 exit.
Yes, and see that McCullough-Nolan exit and realize that that's sort of a new area, and that's a great access into downtown that is going to be taking us even further with our urban development in the community.
Thank you.